Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please turn with me to Psalm 39 as we consider the topic today. Is there hope? Yes, is there hope in this world? And this is a very important question, isn't it? Because it is hope that gives people the reason and the purpose to live in this life. If there is no hope in this world, then all things will be in vain. There will be no reason for us to live. We might as well not continue to dwell here upon this earth, isn't it? Now, from young, I believe when we are brought up, we have heard many articles, many poems, many songs that talk about how beautiful life is upon this earth. There will also be songs that will declare how wonderful and how majestic this world is. And in some sense, yes, this is true. For this world is one that is created by God, the one living and true God. And because He is God, He is infinite in His wisdom. And this wisdom and greatness of His can be seen in creation. Just look at the sky, whether in the day, where you see clouds that are moving. You know, have you ever wondered why these clouds can just hang there in the air? Yes, we say that it is water vapor, and yet there can come upon a time whereby the clouds can be so saturated, and then rain can fall upon the earth. And then the water cycle continues. How amazing, isn't it? Well, there is design in the world. And then when you look at the sky at night, well, you see the moon, you see the stars, and they just hang there in great splendor. Then you look at the animals that dwell upon the earth. Each and every one of them is made with great beauty and with intricate design. And so yes, in some sense, we live in a world where there is beauty, where God's glory can be seen. And yet it is a truth also, right, that this world is a world that is full of misery, sorrow, and trouble. And we can see that all around us, isn't it? And this is something that we become more aware as the days go by. The older we get, the more we are aware of the troubles of this world. Is it not true? When you are young, all you need to do is what? To worry whether or not daddy and mommy will give you food. Everything daddy and mommy will look after. But as you get older, as you have to fend for yourself in this world, you suddenly realize that the world is so complicated. You start to experience various sicknesses, diseases, afflictions. You start to experience the cares of the world. You start to experience the great wickedness that is out there in the world. And not only just that, you also become very much aware that you yourself are not much better, that you yourself are also a sinner. That is the world in which we are living in. And there is one thing that everybody in this world cannot avoid. And we know that this thing that every man cannot avoid, no matter how wise, no matter how rich, no matter how powerful, is death. And death is all around us. Death is the leveler of life, the great leveler of life. For once death comes, every man is reduced to be nothing but dust. Do you see death approaching, dear friends? Do you know that that is true for every one of us gathered down here today? There is not one exception. Death is approaching and death is knocking at the door. And of course, the older you get, the nearer you are to the door. And the nearer you get, the older you get, you realize that there are so many things in life that doesn't seem to have a solution. And especially when our bodies start to ache, when there start to be more afflictions that doesn't seem to go away, we begin to think, is there any meaning in this life? Is there hope? In the end, it seems like I have to go to the grave. And then, what's next? What's next? Oh, when you are younger, you place your hope in the things of this world. And that is exactly what Psalm 39 says, isn't it? You realize that in Psalm 39, it was noted by the psalmist that when man walketh in this world, well, he likes to heap up riches. But when he heap up riches, as he gets older, he realizes, well, I can't really enjoy those riches that I have. And even these riches that I heap up in the end, I do not know who shall gather them. And in the end, what will happen to these riches? When I go to the grave, not one of these things which I've obtained in life will follow me to the grave. What hope is there in these riches? No hope. And then you begin to think about the body. Well, when we are younger, we like to keep our bodies healthy, isn't it? And nowadays in Singapore, yes, this is very much in fashion, keeping our bodies healthy. Eating brown rice. Exercising. And then trying to keep ourselves trim and fit. Now, we are not saying that there's no value in exercise. God willing, later we will see that there is indeed some value. But, understand this. A lot of us, we like to put so much emphasis on the body, and then we exercise, and then we get all our 4-pack, 6-pack, 8-pack, whatever number of packs. In the abdomen, a lot of our muscles, great cardiovascular endurance. So when men and women are young, they like this. But after they come to a certain age, no matter what, it will fail. It will fail. You put your hope and trust in this body, in the end, one day the body will still break down. What hope does the body bring? This body in this world. No hope. And that is exactly also what the psalmist in Psalm 39 have also experienced. You will realize that this psalm was written by David, and it was similarly written when it was close to the end of his life. And he was asking the Lord, "Oh, remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thy hand." And then he is talking about how, you know, his life seems to be one whereby he is very frail. And indeed he is. Yes, no hope in this body. Some would think, "Oh, I want to place hope in the future generation, my children." Yes, indeed, there is value, and we ought to be concerned about the future generation. But if your hope is only in the future generation, when you die in the grave, what will happen to your children? Do you not know that if your children still does not have his or her main problem resolved? And what is this main problem? This main problem is sin, which causes death. And if your children still does not know the solution to this problem, then when you die and when you go to your grave, the next generation, what will happen? Also the same story. Also they die. They go to the grave. They place the hope in the next generation. They also die. They also go to the grave. No solution. No hope. And you know why there is no hope in this world? Well, simply because every one of us is a sinner. You know that this world was created beautiful by the Lord. Yet why is there sin and misery? Because the Bible tells us that in the beginning, when God told man, right, the first man, Adam, "Please do not, right, do not, right, eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that is placed in the Garden of Eden. Because when you eat of it, thou shalt surely die." And when God says, "Thou shalt surely die," he means not only will men die physically, that is, when he dies, you know, his soul will be separated from the body, and then after that, also separated from God. But he also meant this, that man will die spiritually. So in other words, spiritual things, man will not be able to understand. He will be spiritually blind. He will have no spiritual sight. He will be dead in sin. And he will keep on wanting to sin against God. And he will be conceived in sin. And also, lastly, there will be eternal death. In other words, eternal separation where? Eternal separation in a place that is called the lake of fire. For if any man dies without his sins forgiven, without his sins washed away, then you know what will happen to this man. He will one day be judged. That's what the Bible tells us. After this, the judgment, there is a judgment to come. It's not the end. Well, one day, the man will, like the soul of the man will be risen again. Right? The soul will firstly be placed in hell. After that, will be risen. And then he had to stand before God in the great white throne. And after that, there will be judgment of his works upon the earth. And every one of the works which the person has done, right, that the man has done, will be in sin. Everyone stained with sin. And so therefore, not worthy, right, in the sight of God. An abomination in the sight of God. And then, finally, the man will be cast into the lake of fire. That's why, no hope. Yes. Indeed, if you consider all this, there is no hope in this world. And this is something that the psalmist make it very clear, right, in this psalm. Surely every man walketh in a vain show, right, that's in verse 6. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And then even before that, in verse 5, he says, verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Yes, vanity. And the word vanity refers to something that is futile. Something that is for naught. A big fat zero. Kosong. Right? That is what life is all about. You gather all your accomplishments, in the end it is all for nothing. You gather all your possessions, in the end it's all for nothing. You live this life, you invest so much in the body, in the end it's for nothing. Yes, all things are for nothing. And with regards to the days of man, the Bible here says it is like a hand breath. It is like a hand breath. So short only, the breath of the hand. And then it is over. Yet, interestingly, not what the psalmist, not what David says, right, concerning this truth. You know, some of us, when we hear all this news, we say, please don't tell me, okay, all these things. You know, I only want to hear good news in this life. I do not want to hear bad news. And yet, here, David, who is coming to the end of his life, inflicted with all these illnesses, and then still having, right, wicked people troubling him in his life, ask the Lord, right, request of the Lord in verse 4, Lord, make me to know my end. I want to know my end. I want to be aware of exactly what will happen to my life. And the measure of my days, how short my days is just like a hand breath. I want to know it. I want to be acutely aware of it. I want to have a good understanding of this truth. What exactly it is that I may know, and this term, by this expression, that I may know, is said in a mood of self-encouragement. In other words, he's saying, please, this is my great desire that you help me to understand exactly how weak I am. And this runs contrary to how the world would want to think of themselves, isn't it? How people in the world want to think of themselves. Everybody wants to think themselves as strong. Everyone wants to think of themselves as able. Everybody wants to think of himself as great, as majestic. Oh, what a great man I am. Oh, what great achievements I have. I am so strong. I am so able. And yet, here, at the end of his life, David says, please, I beg of you, O Lord, teach me to know exactly how weak I am. Because when I know how weak I am, and how I know that in this world, there is no hope, that with this understanding in mind, I will now have my eyes, my mind, focus on this question. Where then can I find hope in this world? Where then can I find hope in this world? Because my life is short. I must know this answer. If I do not know this answer, and then I go to the grave, that is over for me. Please help me to know. I look at the world, wickedness in the world. I look at my life, now that I have illness, I have sickness. Everything seems to be so hopeless. Everything seems to be so vain. So teach me, O Lord, very quickly, please teach me and help me to understand wherein is hope in this life. And the answer, dear friends, is in verse 7, the key. Help me to know all these things so that I may come to the realization that where is my hope? My hope is in thee, O Lord. And now, Lord, the master of my life, the one who is sovereign over everything in this world, I wait for you. I wait upon you. I wait for your deliverance. Why? Because I know that the only thing in my life in which I can find hope in which I can find comfort in, is in you. You are my hope, and there is none other. God, you are my hope. And is there hope in this world today? Well, no hope if you look at the world itself as the solution. But there is hope if you turn to God. Because God, in His love, in His grace, in His mercy, has indeed provided a way out of man from his misery. From that great misery, which is his sin. From that great misery, which so separate us from God Himself. From that great misery of sin, which brings us eternal death because of sin. Therefore, this entire world now that is plunged into sin, and then you can see the consequences of the sin around us. You can see sickness, you can see death, you can see illnesses, you can see wars and rumors of wars. All these things are all the consequences of sin. All the problems of this life because of sin. Don't look at this world. Look to God. And the solution provided by God is this. How thankful we are that straight after the fall of man, God told Eve that there will be the seed of the woman that will bruise the head of the serpent. Now, who is this seed of the woman? This seed of the woman is none other than the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came to this world some 2,000 years ago, and He was born of a virgin. And so therefore, this person, the only begotten Son of God, is 100% God and 100% man. And He is none other than Jesus Christ. What is the meaning of Jesus Christ? The word Jesus means Savior. Right? Jesus, right, in the Greek, in the Hebrew, Yeshua or Joshua, meaning Savior. And then the word Christ means anointed one, Messiah, Mashiach. The one who is, so you combine the two together, Jesus Christ means the one who is anointed to be the Savior of this world. Now, how can He be the Savior of this world? Because He is the one, the only one that is 100% man and 100% God. Now, we, in our first parents, in Adam, we fell because his sin. So therefore, being our representative, the whole of mankind now is plunged into sin. So much so that every one of us, once we are conceived in the womb of our mothers, we are conceived in sin. Every man is a sinner. There is no exception to it. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is the consequences of the fall. That is the consequences of what Adam, our representative, did in the Garden of Eden. But now, there comes a one who is the second Adam. And who is this second Adam? This second Adam is none other than Jesus Christ. 100% man and 100% God. Now, why is it important for him, firstly, to be 100% man? Because as 100% man, he can therefore be our representative. Now, if you want to represent Singapore in any games, you must be a Singaporean, right? If you are from another country, let's say you are Malaysian, you don't hold a Singapore passport, you cannot represent Singapore. Well, perhaps you can represent ASEAN because you are a member of ASEAN, but you cannot represent Singapore if you are, for example, the SEA Games, you're called to race under the Singapore flag. You can't because you are Malaysian, or you are Indonesian, or you are from Philippines. Right? Only a Singaporean can represent Singapore. True? Right? So therefore, in order to represent man, Jesus Christ must be 100% man. But also, understand that because Jesus Christ is 100% God, and so therefore he is perfect and without sin. Now, why all these things is necessary is because somebody must pay the penalty for sins, isn't it? Remember, the God of this world is a just God. And being a just God, you know that there must be penalty for sins. And what is the wages of sin? The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. Death, meaning right, all the way physical death, after that spiritual death, and after that eternal death. If right, the sins of the person right, is not washed away, that is exactly what will happen to any man. This penalty of sin must be paid. And so therefore, who came to this world in order to be the representative, to be our substitute, to die in our place? This person is none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 100% man and 100% God. Without sin, because it must be somebody without sin that died upon the cross. And then after that, the sacrifice will be accepted, and it's only a person that is without sin that he died, they can die, and after that, death can have no power over him. Why? Because he's without sin. And then after that, he can rise again from the dead on the third day. Very important. That person must be without sin. And because he was without sin, he can also keep the Ten Commandments on behalf of us. All the commandments on God on behalf of us, which we are not able to keep. But he can, because he is without sin. All of us, we can't. Because we are all sinners. But he is not. Jesus Christ is not. And so that is exactly what he did. He came into this world. He walked in this world, keeping the Ten Commandments, the law of God, perfectly for us. And then, he went to the cross. And there on the cross, he was nailed. And he shed his precious blood. And by his precious blood, there was remission for sins. And then our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died on our behalf. It should be us who died on the cross of Calvary, but our Savior died on behalf of us. And then the Bible tells us that he was buried, but he knew no sin, and so therefore sin and death had no power over him. Then he rose again on the third day for our justification. How wonderful, isn't it? How wonderful. And the Bible therefore tells us that if any man would confess, yes, O Lord, I am a sinner, and the very fact that I am a sinner means that by my own merit, I cannot enter into heaven. And so therefore, I need my sins to be washed away. Lord, please, will you not therefore forgive me of my sins? I believe that you died for me and that you were buried and then you rose again on the third day. I believe you did all these things for me. Oh Lord, will you not therefore by your precious blood cleanse me as white as snow, so that instead of eternal death, instead of eternal condemnation, I can have eternal life. The Bible tells us if any man would to humble himself in this way, they come to God and then seek the Lord, seek Christ Jesus in faith, he will now have eternal life. He will now have peace with God. He will no longer be an enemy of God, but he will be now a child of God. How wonderful, isn't it? And then, when his time on earth is up, yes, his time on earth, it will still be a handbreadth, but at the end of this life, when he died, his soul will be separated from the body, but no longer is he going to enter hell, and after that, the lake of fire. Now, his soul will be with the Lord in heaven. And when the time comes, when the end of the time comes, we know that there will be a resurrection, and all these people who have their sins cleansed, they will be resurrected with a glorified body, and they will get to dwell with the Lord unto eternity in the new heavens and the new earth forever, where there will no longer be any more sin, where there will be no longer any more misery, where there will no longer be any more corruption. Yes, this body that is undergoing corruption, it will be no more. But then we will be given another body, and this body, this time round, it will be incorruptible. How wonderful, isn't it? This body, no matter how you exercise, it will corrupt. The glorified body to come will never corrupt. And we can be together with the Lord in heaven. And this hope of heaven, to all who believe, the Bible tells us that it is a sure hope. It is a sure hope. And once you know this sure hope, then whatever you do in this life now takes a altogether different meaning, isn't it? Before that, there is totally no meaning. It's all vanity, isn't it? It's all vanity. In the end, it amounts to zero. And in the end, you know, you are going to the lake of fire, eternal separation, eternal condemnation. That is what everything that you do in this earth will amount to. But now that you have believed in Christ Jesus, now that you have placed your hope in Him, while you are walking upon this earth, you know that your salvation is assured. All you need to do is to wait for the consummation of your salvation. You know that your hope is a sure hope. And that is exactly what the psalmist means. It's exactly what David means down here when he says, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. I wait, what? For the consummation of my salvation." And so therefore, the purpose of my living down here is this, that I walk in faith, knowing that at the end, I will be with thee forever. Right now, what I must do is to live my life to your glory, to live my life in order to bear the truth to others, that they, in this life, may also know that they can find hope in you. These people who persecute me, this wicked, even in my old age, who are still attacking me, they do not know all these things. As they attack me, thinking that by attacking me, who art the king of Israel, or they may be able to find some political advantage, they may be able to find some shame, but then, in the end, what is the value of all these things? They can't understand it. There is no hope, there is no value, there is, in all these things, if you do it outside of Christ Jesus, all these things will be altogether vanity. But now that I have believed, it is so, so different, isn't it? Because when I do all these things in this life, I know there is a meaning why I do all these things. Because you have called me to be a good testimony, to be a witness of this truth, so that others may also be delivered from their sins. And so therefore, when I go to the workplace, when I work, I know what is my purpose down there. I know that it will mean something. I know that it will count. Because when others can see the beauty of Christ in me, they will also find salvation. I know that all these resources and whatever that you have given to me, I can use it wisely in order to promote the kingdom of Christ. I know that when I exercise, it is for the sustaining of this body until my time is up, that in my good health and strength, I may glorify thee, I may praise thee. I know that when I have a family, that all this family are, all the members of the family are given to me, that I may be a testimony also to them, that they may also become part of the heavenly family of God, that they may not find eternal death, but they may find eternal life. That I know that when I pass on from this earth, there will be also this generation that will continue, that will tell others about the way to heaven. It is so, so different. And so therefore, dear friends, is there hope in this world? I hope you know that there is this hope. Firstly, for those of us who have not believed in Jesus Christ, why don't you come to Christ today? He is the only hope. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The way, meaning no other way but Him, the truth. Not false, no lie. But everything He says is entirely trustworthy. And the life, yes, the one who will give you eternal life. Why won't you come to Him? And I pray, oh dear friend, that you will come to Him. Because if you come to Him, then you can answer affirmative, right? This question, right? In the affirmative, this question, is there hope? Yes, there is hope. How wonderful, isn't it? And for those of us who know Christ, then what the psalmist say down here in Psalm 39 are very wise words indeed for us to take note. Especially some of us down here. I know, right? You are going through very difficult times, and that you have also many afflictions of the body. And understand that when we suffer these afflictions of the body, every time we suffer these afflictions, it is a reminder of how frail we are. It's also a reminder of the consequences of the fall of man. Yes, in some sense, every sickness, every affliction that we have in the body is a consequence of sin. Because every one of us is a sinner, it's a consequence of sin. Because of sin in this world, so therefore sickness and weakness. And that's why the psalmist down here says, please help me to know. I really want to know. So that I may understand that I'm not a strong man. That I can't do things by my own strength. Oh, everything I must do, I must depend upon Thee. And everything I do, I must do it for Thee. That is what counts. And so, Lord, please have mercy upon me when I have these afflictions. Remove this stroke away from me. I am consumed by Thy hand. When Thou with rebukes dost correct men for iniquity. Yes, all these things You send in my life to correct me, to chastise me. Yes, Thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Selah. Yes, remind me how, Lord, my life is so short compared to You who are the eternal God. It's just like a breath. It's just like the beauty of a moth or a butterfly that will soon fade away. Teach me that while I am down here on this earth, I am a stranger and a sojourner. Exactly what we have in our team for the church this year. Stranger and pilgrim. Right? Down here, a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. And who were the fathers of David? Well, David would think not only of his immediate father, right? Not only of Jesse, but who would he think of? Right? He would think of Boaz, he would think of all the way until who? Until Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And during those days, the nation of Israel was not even formed, and they were what? Right? They were sojourners. They were nomads, right, in the land. But now David is what? Now David is the king of Israel. He still says, I'm a sojourner. Because I'm looking forward to what? I'm looking forward to my heavenly hope. Help me never forget my heavenly hope. And when I remember that I have this heavenly hope in life, oh, what comfort. Oh, what consolation. And that will also give me the encouragement and the strength to push on in this world. It will also make me humble and not proud. Right? Thinking that, oh, everything by my own intellect and strength I can do. No, not the case. I am frail. I must always depend upon Thee. Because even with respect to my salvation, I can't save myself. It's in You. It's in You, O Lord, that I have my salvation. My hope is in You. You are my helper. You must abide with me. And that is the key of Psalm 39 down here. And I hope every one of us bears this in mind. In the Bible Presbyterian Church, we have one of our founding fathers that has just returned home to the Lord. His name is Dr. S.H. Toh. He was a gynecologist, well renowned in Singapore, because it was he that made KK Hospital great. And so today, many of us down here, we are born where? Born in KK Hospital. I don't think we need to do a survey down here. We probably have a majority of hands down here. And he was a person that keeps himself very trim and fit, even in his older years, aged years, he was still running. And he can run faster than many of the young men down here, longer distances also. And yet, he was very much aware of the frailty of his body and the importance to know what is the sure hope of this world. And this is what he wrote in his autobiography. The day is far spent, the night is at hand. Awake, it is earlier than you think. But men and women are caught up with the world's hollow pleasures and seductive lifestyle, swept ever onward by the relentless tide of time. Can you find hope in all these things? No. But we care so much about these things. And then we are so attracted by all these things. Oh, all the bright lights of this world. All the concerts, all this stuff. What hope do they bring? Zero. All they care for are the demands of the dying body with not a thought for the deathless soul. A young lady receiving a priceless diamond ring exclaimed to a young man, "Dearest, dear, darling, sweetie, thank you for the lovely box. I promise to look after the box with utmost care so that no harm or loss will come to it." So, let's not even talk about a young lady to a young man. Husbands, let's say if you give your wife, now is wedding anniversary. Okay, wedding anniversary, looks like my wife's ring is getting older. I decide to buy her a new ring. So you went out to buy, and then you got a new ring, but then you present to your wife. Now imagine your wife says to you, "Oh dear," you open and then she saw the ring, and then she takes out the ring, she gives the ring back to you. "Thank you dear for the box, it is so nice. I promise to look after the box. No harm will come to it, okay?" Then she keeps the box and then she passes the ring to you. She discards the ring. What will you say? Ridiculous, you say. Right? So we all agree. Yes, it is. Yet it is a picture of time-bound men and women, young people, lavishing everything on their perishing bodies without a thought for their priceless souls. And then before they realize it, the day of judgment have dawned, and then they realize that their answer to the question, is there hope? What is their answer? No. Why? Because too late. Gone. Judgment had come. So dear friends, what is your answer to this question? Is there hope? I hope your answer today will be yes. How then to find your hope? Only in the Messiah Jesus Christ. Why don't you repent of your sins and come to Him? He is the only hope of this world. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, we thank thee, O Lord, for thy love towards the sons of men, that thou hast not left men destitute of hope in this world. For in Christ Jesus, we have this sure hope. And so, Father, our prayer is that everyone down here may indeed find this hope. And for us who have this hope, O Lord, we pray that as we go through this life, we will not be distressed or depressed, but because we have this hope and we know, Lord, where we will end up in, we know our destination, that we can press on with great joy and peace in our hearts. Oh, if only our hearts will be focused on our Savior. If only our minds will be set upon things above. So please help us, O Lord, to know the truth of thy scriptures and to truly follow after thy precepts in this life. O Lord, may our hearts always be devoted unto thee, for thou art the hope and the comfort of our lives. Hear our humble cry. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.